Boston, Massachusetts, home of the storied Boston Red Sox, and a five-year-old lefty named Junior Gramajo. Junior comes from a big family, and like any good team, the Gramajos all root for each other. The head cheerleader is Junior's grandma, Annalia.
We're very close-knit. We do things together. We help each other in need. You know, we take care of each other.
But the Gramajos have one strike against them, a predisposition to type 2 diabetes. Annalia takes meticulous care of her mother. She has type 2 diabetes. Annalia's dad also had type 2. He was on insulin, but did not eat well or exercise. He died when he was just 54. After watching her father die from the complications of diabetes, Annalia developed a common fear that taking insulin was the first step to a steady and inevitable decline.
When you get to insulin, it's really bad.
Annalia and her sister Lydia are both healthcare professionals, so they know that family history and lifestyle choices are big factors in type 2 diabetes. But they didn't think it would really happen to them.
For me, it didn't hit home till I was told, you're a diabetic. And I was in my early 40s.
Annalia was also diagnosed in her 40s. Becoming a type 2 diabetic upset her, but she believed that she would be okay as long as she didn't need insulin. Type 2 diabetes is often triggered by weight gain and lack of exercise. Some people are able to control type 2 diabetes just by losing weight and getting active. Annalia is hoping she'll be able to do that, but she isn't there yet.
Working full time, Monday through Friday, I don't get home till about 5. By then, I'm so tired, I don't feel like exercising.
You need to wait,
okay? And then you have to deal with all the kids, because Monday through Friday, my mother cooks, and she has dinner ready, which is a godsend.
People with type 2 diabetes have trouble processing glucose. Their bodies are resistant to insulin, the hormone that controls glucose levels. It takes extra insulin to overcome that resistance, and the body can't keep up.
And then I started to gradually progress. Started with the pills. One pill, increased it to 2 pills, then 2 different kinds of pills. And then you said, well, you know, it's okay. It's only pills.
Some of the oral medications to control diabetes can help the body make more insulin and use it more efficiently. But sometimes, even for people who do everything right, pills just aren't enough.
There's no magic bullet for diabetes.
Dr. Enrique Caballero is an endocrinologist at Harvard Medical School's Joslin Diabetes Center in Boston.
You may feel well, and you may think that you don't need insulin, but the reality is that your blood sugars will be causing problems in your eyes, in your heart, in your circulation, in your kidneys, in your legs.
I procrastinated and I kept on bargaining with my doctor. Okay, I'll really, really, you know, exercise. I'll try to watch what I eat. Just give me 3 more months. I'll do it. Finally, you know, you have to bite the bullet and say, okay, I'll start the insulin. And at that point, you think, oh my God, I'm on insulin. This is the worst that it can be.
Not true, says Dr. Caballero.
Taking insulin doesn't mean that you're worse than someone that doesn't take insulin. In fact, you may be better than people that don't take insulin because your diabetes may be better controlled than someone that is not doing what they're supposed to do.
Hi, Lydia. How are you doing?
Dr. Caballero treats Annalia's sister Lydia and their mother. He finds the fear of insulin and medication in general pervasive in many communities. People often fear that insulin makes you sick, that it makes you fat, or that the shots are really painful.
Every time that people hear the word insulin, they get scared and they feel that means diabetes is out of control, is terribly bad. And that's not the reason. The complications occur because of the high blood sugars that were not treated properly, not because of the implementation of insulin therapy.
Although not all people with type 2 diabetes will need to take insulin, it remains a critical tool for managing the disease.
Now, would you mind if I check your feet?
Taking insulin doesn't mean that you're really sick. It just means that you are at the time at which your body is not able to produce enough insulin in response to the tablets or oral medications that you may be taking. And that's the time when you need that help. Insulin is a natural hormone. We all produce that. So we should not be afraid of taking it. It's just what the body needs to be able to control the blood sugars.
For people with type 1 diabetes, taking insulin is essential because they can't produce any on their own. And over time, many people with type 2 diabetes become less able to produce insulin. Anna Leah doesn't know if she'll need to take insulin forever, but she does know that exercising and eating well can help protect her family from developing type 2 diabetes. And that's the lesson that Anna Leah and her sister Lydia are trying to teach their children.
I keep telling my kids, you know, look at your grandmother, look at me, you know, come on, start eating healthier. My father, my mother, my sister, me, you know, I don't want my daughter to have to go through this. I don't want my grandkids to have to go through this.
As Anna Leah looks to the future, she's learning that the best way to take care of her family is to take care of herself first.
I'm not about me. I'm about the family. And I guess I need to become more selfish in that respect.
And that means finding more time to exercise, working towards eating better, and taking her insulin. Keeping her diabetes in check means she'll be there for her grandson, Junior, and all his extra innings. Maimonides, an 11th century physician, believed diabetes was caused by the sweet waters of the Nile and the prevailing heat that spreads over the kidneys. Katie Hoselton loves to dance.
I mean, ballet's hard. Just point is really hard for me. It takes so much muscle just to, like, when I went on it for the first time, just to stand, you have to use muscles. Like, you're finding yourself just standing upright and tall and straight. You're using your arms, your abs, your butt, your legs. Everything is squeezing tight, and you're just like, wow, like, if this is an exercise, then I don't know what else is.
Katie practices several times a week. On top of going to school, doing her homework, and, of course, hanging out with her friends, it's a pretty normal schedule for a 15-year-old. But Katie is more than a dancer, more than a high school sophomore. She also has type 1 diabetes, which means she needs constant blood tests and insulin injections to survive.
Diabetes is something I'm always dealing with. It never takes a break. I'm always monitoring my blood sugar. An average day, let's see, average day is about five to six tests a day. And I'll give myself a shot, let me see, 6 to 7 shots a day.
Katie was just 8 when she started showing symptoms, which were all too familiar to her mother, Brenda. Brenda had a family history of type 1 diabetes, which included her father, her sister, and Katie's older brother, Ben.
Well, remember, Ben was diagnosed on November 11th. Every parent knows the day that their kid was diagnosed, which was right after Halloween.
She found herself grappling with the same myths common to almost all parents of diabetic children. She felt responsible.
And I remember thinking, my gosh, you know, could it have been anything to do with Halloween? I do remember thinking that. And even though I logically knew that that wouldn't be the case, you do think maybe you could have done something.
Could it have been the Halloween candy? Brenda knew better, but she couldn't help but worry about one of the strongest myths out there, that sugar causes diabetes.
Most parents tend to look at what did I do wrong. And I don't think I had that feeling, but I remember going, was there anything I could have done to stave it off?
11 years later, when Katie started exhibiting some of the same symptoms, Brenda could not believe that lightning would strike twice.
She became extremely thirsty over a period of a few days. Hungry, thirsty, a little irritable. And I said, knowing full well that when I tested her blood sugar, my life could change.
A 5-second blood test confirmed Brenda's suspicions.
I tested her and it was 400 and something. And I looked at her and she looked at me. And she said, I don't want to have diabetes.
It was shocking. Getting diabetes was, always a concern of mine because I saw what my brother did and I'd seen what he went through. And I'd said to my mom, will I get it? Will I get it? And she'd always told me no because the chances of me getting it were so rare.
In fact, in only about 10 to 15% of new cases, does someone else in the immediate family have type 1 diabetes? Dr. Francine Kaufman is a pediatric endocrinologist at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. She's treated Katie for 7 years.
I'd always known about diabetes. My own grandmother had diabetes when I was growing up, and I watched her struggle with this disease my entire childhood, my young adulthood, and she died actually when I was in medical school. And I kind of wanted to get back at diabetes and do something significant in the field.
Dr. Kaufman knew all of the myths about diabetes and the truths, so she was able to allay some of Brenda's concerns.
The big myth of eating too much sugar causing diabetes, it does not cause type 1 diabetes at all.
No, I know. It's got lactose in it.
Type 1 diabetes is due to an immune system of that person destroying their insulin-producing tissue in their pancreas. They can no longer make insulin, and they must take insulin by injection or by insulin pump every day the rest of their lives to be healthy and well.
Type 2 diabetes is different. That's where the food we eat comes into play. And it's not just sugar. Type 2 can be triggered by weight gain from eating an unhealthy diet over a long period of time.
Each one of these has 32.
Type 2 diabetes is preventable, at least for many people, not everybody. But if you imagine that the real trigger is becoming overweight and obese and sedentary, well, if I didn't do that, or I reversed that, I could potentially prevent type 2 diabetes.
When she was in 7th grade, Katie had firsthand experience with the confusion between type 1 and type 2.
Nearly 150 million people suffer from diabetes.
In school, sometimes they'll show videos and they'll be like, they don't specify the difference between type 1 and type 2, and they'll say, you get diabetes when you're fat, or whatever. And kids are like, wow, you look good. And I'm like, no.
So can you have sugar, or?
I take insulin for what I eat. I can eat anything that anyone else eats. I just have to count for it. I think it's confusing because they have the same name. They're both called diabetes. Honestly, I think they should have completely different names because they are so different. And even though they both are malfunctions of the pancreas and they both have to deal with that, they're very different, especially in the way that you treat it and the way that you get it.
Today, the Hazeltons are diabetes experts. The whole family eats well, and Katie is very conscious and conscientious about her blood sugar levels and her overall health. The teen years can be difficult for someone with diabetes. Erratic eating habits and lots of physical activity make it hard to regulate blood sugar levels.
So tell me about dancing.
I love it.
I know you like to dance. So how often are you doing it?
Right now I'm Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm. You know, all that physical activity is like a stress for your body, so your body's releasing stored sugar if there isn't any around, and then, you know, it doesn't actually kind of know how much to release, so you can overshoot
right.
from stress, and then later, so now you've depleted all your stores, so later you're going to get low. You need some insulin to kind of meet the metabolic needs of your body, so a little bit of insulin, less to cover what you're eating, less to cover your high, and I think you'll do a lot better.
Okay.
All right.
Diabetes does not usually affect my dancing. There have been instances when I've needed to leave the dance class to check my blood sugar or eat a snack, but I just have to constantly regulate that.
Katie's a normal teenager. She does everything that her friends do. She has a lot of great friends who pretty much all know about her diabetes, so she doesn't see herself as particularly different.
For a pediatric endocrinologist, Katie is a dream come true. She has full confidence in herself. She is in charge, that she knows who she is and who she wants to be.
I mean, I never think like, why me? This is, it's just part of me. It's more just like, I have it and this is something we do, this is part of my life.
Between 1900 and 1915, fad diets high in oats, milk, potatoes, and rice were thought to cure diabetes.